Hey, it's Bobby Bones. If you're a veteran or if you've got a family member or friend who served, I want to tell you about Safeguard Veterans. Sometimes the hardest part isn't asking for help, it's knowing where to turn. Safeguard Veterans connects veterans, families, and caregivers with local support and resources that understand military life. And when you're talking to people who understand those experiences, finding the right support can feel a whole lot easier. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans, any door. The right support.
Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for coming out with me tonight.
I was just coming from Vince the Bass show a second ago, and his chat room is completely dead. So is mine tonight. I'm not sure why. There are some listeners, but just curious what's going on. I think maybe we got rid of all the trolls, and now there's no one left. But anyway, tonight I'm just going to talk a little about music and whatever's going on. I'm going to play some music tonight, as long as the switchboard will cooperate. You may not know this, those of you who don't actually have shows on BTR, but there is a they're raising the rates on everybody who uses BTR. So a lot of people who have shows are thinking about taking them off BTR and moving them somewhere else. I'm one of them thinking about using my own show through my own site instead because BTR kind of sucks. Their interface sucks. It's unreliable. As those of you who were at my last show noticed, you can't really rely on it. So, and, you know, it just goes out and you can't get back into it, and it drops people off the phone, and so it's really bad. But anyway, so I may be doing that as well. But those of you who listen to my show, you know, this is actually the Gay Guy Clubhouse tonight. And what that means just is it's off limits at night, basically. So I typically do more serious shows about serious topics like racism or religion or gay marriage or whatever. Kind of journalistic kind of shows I do and have discussions with people who are for or against those things or represent those topics. And the next show, the next serious show I'm going to do is going to be Racism in America. It's going to be Friday, January 7th at 7 p.m. Central. And we're going to talk about racism in America and the implications of that and see how that's going. And also talk about, you know, world history and racism, that sort of thing, on January 7th. So if you want to join me then for that, that would be great. But tonight, you know, the gay guy clubhouse, as I call it, what we talk about here basically is just whatever's on your mind. If you want to give us a call, the call-in number is 323-843-6160. And, you know, the gay guy clubhouse is basically off limits at night, like I said, and it's just more, you know, laid back and about topics of a more lowbrow nature. So if you want to talk, give me a call. And also, I was on Vince's show a second ago, too, and he was saying the same thing about BTR. So I'm getting really tired of BTR. And it's, I mean, you know, like Vince was saying on his show, if BTR's interface were any good, if you could rely on it, if it were reliable, if you could use it and know it's going to work the way they say it's going to work, I would pay whatever, you know, they want me to pay. But right now I'm paying, you know, the premium fees, and it doesn't even work the way they say it's going to work. So that really pisses me off, and I know it pisses a lot of people off too. But anyway, we're going to play a couple songs, and then I'll be back in a few minutes. Last night we were talking about Madonna, and the basic bitch was on here last night talking about Madonna and what a hag she is, but I like Madonna. And some people don't, but I'm going to play her real quick, and I'll be right back. give me a call. It's 323-843-6160. And, you know, Madonna, I actually, was obsessed with her when I was a kid. Like a lot of gay guys, I was obsessed with her when I was a teenager. You know, from, 19, I was, from the age of, 14 until, until a few years ago. But, you know, people are always saying she's not relevant anymore or whatever. And that's probably true. I mean, she's not as relevant as she once was, obviously, to society or to our culture. I mean, she isn't, 20 years old anymore. She's 52, I think, now. So, whatever. But, I mean, while she was hot, she was hot. She had a great career. She's been around for, 30 years or whatever. So, well, not 30 years. Yeah, 30 years. 30 years, I think, almost. So, she is an icon and of music and of just our general culture. So she's world famous, and she's made millions and millions of dollars. And so you don't stay around as long as Madonna stayed around, and actually succeed in that business and not be talented. Now, her voice is not the greatest voice, I got to admit, but she's worked on it. It's gotten a little better over time. But I liked her a lot better when she was younger, she was during Holiday and, Lack of Prayer and all that great stuff, all the way up to 1998 with Ray of Light. So she was a really incredible performer, still is, and I love her a lot. So I'm going to play another song by her. another artist I love is Pink. I think she's awesome. I think she's really cool. She's one of my favorite artists of all time. She's just a badass, and I think she's a lot like Madonna, but a little edgier. But I love the song by her too, one of her first songs ever.
Yeah.
sexuality, saying there's been a lot of speculation about him for a long time in Hollywood, saying he's gay. And people are saying he's gay. People saying his relationship with Helen Hunt a while back was fake for both of their accounts, saying she's lesbian and he's gay. He said that why he hasn't publicly claimed himself as a gay man. He said, look, I might have lived in England for the past several years, but I'm still an American citizen, and I have not given up my right to privacy. And he says people have different reasons for the way they live their lives. You cannot put everyone's reasons in the same box. It's just a line I've never crossed and never will. I don't live a lie. You have to understand that people who choose not to discuss their personal lives are not living a lie. That is a presumption that people jump to. And he said, look, I think finally this is a very important issue to be discussed. I do, mainly because of how sad it is that young people in this country and even around the world, where they don't have the freedoms and the rights we do, are being subjected to the kinds of abuse that they are being subjected to. That's what is shameful. So anyway, he kind of lets up a little bit that maybe he's gay, but no, he hasn't really confirmed it or whatever. Not that I really care. I don't really care, but somebody else might care. He's not my favorite person. Anyway, so the next thing I'm going to play something by someone you may have heard of. Let's see if you know who this is singing this song.
Losing my mind.
That was the illustrious Liza Minnelli singing Losing My Mind. Anyway, it is 1.5 hours until the end of the show, and the call-in number is 323-843-6160. I appreciate Blue Sky 69 and Gunslinger in 1964 hanging out and listening to music with me tonight. Blue Sky, I know, it's definitely my end. Apparently the chat room, some people use a certain font or something that my computer just does not have, and so it comes across in my side like boxes, like Chinese or something, and they're blue and red boxes, so it's really weird. I know it's from my end, it's not him. Sorry about that, Gunslinger, I didn't know, but I figured it out because I went to a different computer in the house, and I could see it fine, so it's definitely my Mac. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know what font that is. If you know what font that is, let me know so I can download it so I can see what you're saying, okay, because I have no idea what you're saying. But anyway, if you want to call on anyone, it's 323-843-6160. And we are tonight just talking about music and whatever else you want to talk about. So if you have something on your mind, feel free to call me and we can discuss it. And tonight's a really slow night, actually. It's been really slow in all the chat rooms. I don't know why. Maybe it's a Wednesday thing. I don't know. I haven't actually had a show on Wednesday before, so maybe it's a Wednesday thing. I don't know. And no, Blue Sky, I still cannot see Gunslinger's text. I'm telling you, it's not him. Ask him what his font is, and then tell me what his font is so I can download that font so I can read what he's writing. I'm sure it's a missing font I have because it's just like it's glyphs or whatever. So anyway, so that was Liza Minnelli. And another group I love from a while back is Erasure. I don't know if anybody knows who Erasure was, but I certainly do, and they're a great group, a great singer. Andy Bell's their lead singer, and I'm going to play probably my favorite song of all time by Erasure. I hope you like it.
I try to discover a little something to make me sweeter. Oh, baby, refrain from breaking my heart. I'm so in love with you. I'll be forever blue. That can give me no reason why you make me work so hard. That can
And that was Mission Effect. The call-in number is 323-843-6160, and it looks like we have a caller.
Boom.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
And how are you tonight?
This Good. Way. How are you? Who's speaking?
This is Yuli the Way.
Hi, Yuli. How's it going?
It's going, and that's always a good sign, I think.
Good, good. What did you want to talk about tonight?
Well, you suggested that we have a respectful debate about being gay.
Sure. Can you talk up a little bit, though? I can't hear you very well.
I'm sorry.
That's better.
That's better.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah.
So are you a pastor or just very religious, or what is your thing?
I am an associate minister in the Church of God in Christ.
Okay.
Yes. And I am, I don't know if I want to say, an AIDS survivor.
You're an AIDS survivor?
I don't know if I like that term.
It means you have HIV, or you have AIDS, but you're still living with AIDS. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty correct, yeah.
Okay.
Most accurate. And so I have a personal knowledge and understanding of living a gay lifestyle.
Well, first of all, explain to me what you feel a gay lifestyle is.
From my experience, when I...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Can you the people in the chat room can't hear you still. Can you speak up a little louder?
Okay.
Sorry.
Let's try something different. Is this better?
Yes, much better. Much clearer.
Much better. Okay.
Yeah.
No, it's a crummy headset. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
The lifestyle I led was I was and am still physically attracted to men.
Uh huh.
More so than women.
Okay.
And that's kind of my assessment of the gay lifestyle. It's the attraction.
Well, when you say lifestyle, I mean, to me, just having an attraction to someone doesn't dictate a lifestyle. Lifestyle to me means your behavior in whatever you're doing. So typically when I hear people say gay lifestyle, quote unquote, they mean bars and promiscuous sex and things like that. When that's not really the case with most gay people, but that is the image that's put out there by media and many people. And absolutely people do live that as well in both the gay and straight, in the straight world as well. So is that what you're saying by gay lifestyle? Or?
Well, the attraction, when you want to categorize, you asked me what my definition of the lifestyle was, and that was essentially what the lifestyle was for me. Now, whether it displayed itself in terms of going out and clubbing and having illicit sex and or settling down with one lover or two or more, I've kind of experienced the gambit of that. So it wasn't just one. For me, living is living, and I think hetero or homosexual, you live at different levels of experience or experiences, depending on how open you are to new things or new experiences. I grew up in the Midwest, moved to New York, and really got wild, but I was wild enough in my youth, in my teens, in Detroit. But when I consider the gay lifestyle that I led and that the people that I love and loved led, it in essentially was about a man loving another man or a woman loving another woman. And simply living according to that particular construct. And it sometimes, at some points when I was younger, I was more interested in going out and being promiscuous. And then in other stages in my life, I was more interested in settling down and did have one lover for several years, and we lived together. And at another point, I had more than one lover and kind of lived between my place and their places. So it kind of manifested in different ways.
Okay.
But at the heart of it, it was that attraction.
I mean, obviously, if you are homosexual, which I don't know if you consider yourself to be a homosexual, if you're saying that you have the attraction, but you don't actually act on it. Is that what you're saying? You have the attraction, but you don't actually have sex with men, or do you have sex?
Not any longer. No.
Okay.
No.
And why have you chosen to not have sex with men, even though you have a physical attraction to men?
Well, I've chosen not to because I believe it's the wrong example to set, primarily.
For
anybody that looks at me as a man, anybody in my life who looks at me and attempts to pattern their life after mine, I want them to have the best quality of life. I want them to have the most enriching living experience that they can.
Okay. And why is it that you feel that living a heterosexual lifestyle, it makes you more of a man? And why, let me finish the question, and why do you feel that a heterosexual lifestyle is a better example for people to follow or to pattern their own lives after than a gay person would?
Okay, that's a two-part question.
Yes, it is
a question. Right. So my mind is working that fast at this hour of the morning. So
okay.
Take me a little slower and give me the first part of that again.
Well, why do you feel, in terms of being a man, you know, what makes a man in your mind?
There are myriad factors that contribute to a man being a man.
Uh-huh.
However, when I consider masculinity as one of the prime markers of differentiation between the species, between male and female, masculinity as opposed to effeminacy. And I was one of those gay guys that was drawn to other masculine type guys, more so than effeminate type guys. I believe that at the end of the day, when it comes down to the quality of life in terms of living life as a man, as a leader of a household, of a family, that it's important that, first of all, you exhibit a masculine nature as well. It's not so much my thesis is not so much based in sexuality, i.e. hetero or homo, as opposed to sexuality, the period, man being differentiated from woman in terms of character and character traits at the essence of it. So I don't lead a heterosexual lifestyle at this point. I'm married for 8 years and divorced, and that didn't work out, but it's not so much being hetero in nature, because I still don't feel hetero naturally, in a natural sense.
Let me ask you a question then, please. You're saying, I mean, from what I'm hearing you say is that to be a man, or your idea of a man anyway, one needs to portray a masculine energy, a masculine, to be a leader of a family, to provide, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What prevents you from doing those things and still being true to your nature and being a homosexual? Why do you have to be against your nature and lead a heterosexual lifestyle when you yourself are homosexual in order to achieve that? Sorry.
That would call for definitions of what you consider natural and true to your nature. The nature that I perceive by design, of course, is scripturally based. And so I am more compelled to follow the values and precepts as I perceive them set out in Scripture, as opposed to how I perceive them internally or emotionally or even intellectually. I try not to think for myself or be a thinker for myself or independent in that way.
Okay.
I attempt to allow the scriptures to do all my thinking for me and to dictate what life I should live and how I should live it.
Okay, well, let me say something about that. I absolutely, you know, if you have a faith and you believe in your faith and you want to follow what your faith says to you, that's absolutely your prerogative, and you can absolutely do so. And let me finish what I'm saying before you say anything. But to me, you know, living one's life against one's nature, despite what your scripture says, because to me, scripture in any book, whether it's the Bible, the Quran, you know, the Torah, whatever religion one follows, I don't subscribe to any particular religion because I'm just the opposite of you. I am not someone who is a follower. I am not someone who listens to what the pastor says or what the book tells me to do. I think for myself. I feel for myself, and I know what I feel God to be, and it is within me. It is within me, and I know who and what God is because I am connected to God. I don't have to have someone else tell me what that means or how to be connected to God. So that's my perception of it. So my point is that if you want to follow, you know, your scripture or whatever, that's fine. But to me, if I had somebody telling me something that's completely against my own nature, whatever it may be. Like if you're, people always use this analogy when they're talking about gay people because for some reason they always conflate homosexuality with pedophiles or murderers or whatever for whatever reason. But you know, if you're a murderer by nature, does that make what you do, what you want to do, okay? No. But it also means that if you're a homosexual and your nature says, you know, I'm gay, I want to have sex with men because it's natural for me, you know, then, you know, you should because it is who you were designed to be. The murderer is designed to be a murderer. He or she is going to go murder people. They're going to go do whatever they want to do. And therefore, they're put in jail, in prison, whatever, because they shouldn't. And a gay person who is nothing like a murderer, this is how we're talking about love. We're talking about relationships. We're talking about those kinds of things. And sexuality is extremely, extremely deeply seated, I'm sure you would agree with that, in a person's being. To go against that is, in my opinion, to go against God, because you're saying that God designed people to be one way or the other. That's fine, but you believe it to be something else. I believe God designed me to be gay, just like he designed a woman to be a woman, a man to be a man, and just like in nature, you see homosexuality all the time. So I do not believe to live one's life the way you seem to be living yours and what you're telling me against your actual nature, which you've yourself said you have, to me, that is against God. That is against what God wants for us. And that's my opinion, just like what you believe is your opinion. So why is it, I mean, are you someone who feels that gay people should not have equal rights? Or what is it you feel about gay people in general? Just tell me that. I mean, how you feel we should be or what we should be doing besides going against Scripture. I mean, talk to me about it without bringing Scripture into it, because the reason I say that is because we're never going to agree on that because I don't believe in what you believe, right?
Right.
Okay.
It's very difficult for me to talk to you about it without bringing Scripture into it because that's my value. However, I can share with you from this perspective. I try not to categorize people as groups. Everybody comes to, I guess, an understanding of who they are and what they like based on, I believe, experiences. Whether or not a person is, quote-unquote, born gay or it's written into their DNA somehow or another is something that's beyond me with regard to my knowledge of science isn't that depth, and I don't think that that has been proven as a fact scientifically. However, even if that were true, I think the end conversation is going to be one concerning what is best for civilization, what is best for society, what would promote a healthy and free society. And when we relegate our sexuality to a place of prominence above other aspects of our existence that are far more important with regard to us living together and peacefully coexisting, we are doing ourselves a disservice as a community. Of course, on an individual level, when I lived a gay lifestyle, I felt no remorse and no regret concerning it because I was doing my thing my way and I was happy with it. However, the way that I came into a gay lifestyle was one that was riddled with molestation and rape, and a lot of things happened to me through the course of my childhood that turned me in that direction. A lot of sexual things occurred prepubescent and then during my early puberty period that gave me that proclivity or propensity. Prior to those sexual encounters, the molestation and the rape, the rapes that occurred to me, there was no actual knowledge of any sexuality at age 5 and 6. I didn't have a concept of that. But at age 6, I began to be molested initially by one of my sisters, which was very bizarre. And then having a lot of sisters and growing up in a house with only women and being exposed to all parts of the female anatomy and all aspects of what the female, the inner workings of the female anatomy entail, prepubescent, and my mother feeling like I needed a male influence, and then bringing in a cousin, a teenage cousin, who decided that he would show me affection as a male and the only male in my life if I showed him affection in the way in which he wanted it. And because I desired the affection from a male, and that's what he wanted from me, I became accustomed to that. And so as that occurred prepubescent, and then during my pubescent years, it twisted my concept of sexuality. And as I became sexually aware of myself and entered puberty, I was reluctant to be attracted to females because my sisters were walking around naked all the time. And it seemed perverted to me to be attracted to their bodies. And so it was safer in my mind to compartmentalize and to this distant cousin who was having sex with me to just stick with that. And so the female anatomy was just a turn off because I was exposed to it so much early on, and I had much less exposure to the male anatomy save my own. But I became very attracted to it, and I used to often say, "I appreciate the aesthetics of the male anatomy as a work of art." It excited me more. But as far as like gay marriage and gay adoption and perpetuating a lifestyle where we couple off in same-sex relationships would be counterproductive to procreation in society, as well as a twisting of a design that's apparent even outside the scripture, where a man and a woman can come together and procreate, two men left to their own devices without any help from science, and two women left to their own devices without the help of science cannot do that. So that instinctively kind of informs me that this is not the type of relationship that's designed to perpetuate a society. And so
let me respond to what you said so far, because you said a lot. So let me say a few things about what you said. First of all, the purpose of marriage is not to procreate. If that were so, then I understand you're talking also about the natural way of things when you say a man and a woman fit together and they can make a baby. I understand that. I'll address that in a second. But let me say this. The purpose of marriage in modern society is not to procreate. And it's never really been to procreate. It's always been, to actually pass down property. It's been a property transaction, basically, and that's why women take the name. But if that were so, then what about people who can't procreate? They shouldn't be able to get married in that case. People who cannot procreate because the man is sterile or the woman can have children or is barren or whatever, they can't have children, so they should not be allowed to marry under what you're saying to me. Or people who want to adopt and they can't adopt because they can't procreate. I mean, that's just a ridiculous argument. And, you know, people, 50% of marriages end in divorce, and people are always so upset about gay people getting married. You know, the truth is the institution of marriage is dying, and that's the fact. It's dying. And gay people, including myself, I am married, by the way. I am married to my partner, and we are married legally in Connecticut. So may not be everywhere, but we're legal in Connecticut, and we are married. So I'm sorry that you feel that it's not the natural way, but let me tell you, it's not the natural way for some people. It's not the natural way for you, and no one says you have to go marry a gay person. No one says you have to go and have sex with a gay person if you don't want to, or get married to them, or have children with, you know, with that person or whatever through a surrogate or adoption. Don't do it. If you're so against gay marriage, then don't get married to a gay person, first of all. Secondly, let me finish what I'm saying, because you said a lot. I need to address what you said. You said society, it's bad for society for there to be gay people and getting married or having our lifestyle, whatever you called it, how you addressed it. Well, so first of all, society will never be 100% gay. About 10 to 15% of society is gay. And there's not going to be a downfall of the world if gay people get married or gay people will couple off and have our relationships. It doesn't hurt anybody else. It doesn't harm you. It doesn't do anything to you. The only thing that I ever see is people who are against gays, for whatever reason, whether it's religious or whatever, and in your case it seems to be religious, have a problem with gay people. Well, you know, you're entitled to believe, like I said earlier, your religion. Your religion is your religion, but I don't have to believe in your religion. Your religion is not the world religion. This is also the United States of America, and we're supposed to be dispassionate from religion. We're not supposed to have commingling of that here. So that's the second thing. Society is not ever going to be 100% gay. I don't think that's something you need to worry about. I think that's a ridiculous thing to worry about. Also, you said you were molested. Well, I mean, many, many, many people are molested. I was never molested, and I'm gay. I have two parents, and, you know, and I grew up with a male role model and everything else, you know, for most of my life. So I don't have – I'm still gay, and that's the way it is for most gay people. Most gay people have a male and female role model, and they played ball with their dad, or they did whatever they needed to do to fit in, to be heterosexual or to look heterosexual to their parents. And the truth is, you know, I understand what you're saying from a psychological standpoint, what happened to you and how you feel it changed you. But the truth of the matter is, if you're gay, you're gay. You're not going to be someone who is born heterosexual and then you're going to be turned gay, because you may have the behavior. It's just like me. Although I'm a homosexual man, I can go have sex with a woman. That doesn't make me heterosexual. So just because you have been having, you know, you were born gay and you choose not to be, doesn't make you not gay. You're still gay. And one more thing, you know, you were saying about gays, what did you say? I'm sorry. The prominence above, putting our sexuality prominent above everyone else, and putting every other factor about who we are, what we are. Well, that's not true. The reason that our sexuality is so out there, the reason our sexuality is so so prominent, as you call it, is because we're fighting for equality. We're fighting for our rights. If we didn't have to fight for our rights, you would never hear from gay people. We wouldn't be marching down the streets trying to get rights and lobbying Congress and our senators, et cetera. You know, the reason you hear from us all the time and about gay people, and you hear from us talking about gay stuff all the time, is because we're trying to get equal rights. Give us equal rights, and you won't have to hear about it anymore. Hold on a second. There's another caller I want to bring on the line. Don't go away. 323, you're on the air. 323? Hello?
Yes.
Yes, hello?
What are we talking about now?
Who's calling?
This is David from Los Angeles.
David from Los Angeles. We're talking about, I'm having a conversation here with a pastor, I believe, and we're talking about homosexuality. He and I are debating homosexuality. Would you like to chime in on that?
Actually, I have one thing to say about the don't ask, don't tell policy.
Okay.
The gay community is against Barack, saying Barack Obama's not doing what he said he was going to do by overturning the don't ask, don't tell. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But the way he's doing it is actually better for the gay community because he wants Congress to do it. Because if Congress does it, it takes more to repeal the don't ask, don't tell policy. If he just does, everybody wants him to do just an executive order. Okay, he does an executive order, and the president behind him, whether it be a Republican or a Democrat, that don't believe in gays in the military, can overturn that executive order. So if he goes through Congress, then it'll take more time and it'll take more people to repeal it. That's why he's doing it that way. But everybody's making all kind of rallies and making yelling at why he's trying to speak.
Well, first of all,
I understand that he said he promised he'll do it. I understand that. Right. And I understand that the executive order that Bill Clinton did put that in place where you don't have to divulge your sexuality. I understand that. But Barack Obama is trying to do it so you guys won't have to discuss this anymore. Because if Congress does it, you guys won't have to discuss
it. I understand what you're saying. We understand. We understand what he's doing. Evidently, you guys don't.
Because every time he's giving a speech, there's people yelling way in the background. Well, you said you're going to repeal "Don't Ask, Don't Tell," and in the middle of a speech, you guys are yelling that to him. Evidently, some people don't understand that.
I never yelled it at him. Don't put me in the group with every single gay person because one gay person yelled at the president. Okay?
Well, this is typical.
Let me go back to the other caller for a moment. I'm going to mute you just for a second, then we'll come back to "Don't Ask, Don't Tell." Let me have him call me, comment on what he said. Okay, 1 second.
This is typically what I hear a lot. I've heard a lot from, or what I'm hearing, or interpret as I'm hearing from you, are generalizations such as "I'm against gays." I'm not against gays. I'm not against any person. I love everybody.
I am against what I believe.
Is a counterproductive lifestyle for any person. And let me finish.
Who's living that lifestyle? Let me finish.
And as I finish, I'm sure I'll answer that question.
Okay.
When you said to me, "Well, you're saying that a man and a woman don't solely come together for procreation," I never meant to imply it by any stretch of the imagination that that's the sole purpose of a man and a woman to come together for procreation. There are other reasons that men and women come together to form a social unit, the two of them becoming one individual.
A man has traits and characteristics
that are opposite and different from a woman. Women are generally more intuitive, and when the two of them are put together, they're able to provide a balance for each other. It's kind of like that.
Are you still there? Hello? Hello? Hello?
When men and women are initially unable to procreate at the onset of that relationship, that does not mean that throughout the course of their relationship they will not ultimately be able to procreate. I'm sure you are aware and have heard of cases where couples were married for many, many years and unable to have a child.
But suddenly, for no explainable reason,
please let me finish.
What you're saying is that the people who cannot procreate, you're saying people always will eventually be able to procreate, like that is the end-all, be-all purpose. You just said that wasn't the purpose of marriage in the beginning. You're making it the entire purpose when you say that over and over again. It is not the purpose of marriage, and it is not the reason people get married. Now, is it? No. So why do you keep saying that to me when you very well know that that's not the purpose of it? So gay people won't get married for reasons that have nothing to do with procreation. Hello?
of a man and a woman was to procreate. And what I indicated to you is that's one of the issues. But there are a number of variables and factors that go toward a man and a woman forming a social unit.
Why are you continuing to talk about a man and a woman? I don't care about a man and a woman. I don't care what they do. It doesn't matter to me what a man and a woman do or the purpose for their marriage or why they get married in the first place. The entire reason, you know, for the conversation is why it's not, well, not the entire reason, but why it's not okay, you're saying, for gay guys to get married in the first place. So what is wrong with gay people getting married? That is the question. That is the question. Not why people, why heterosexuals get married. So do you want to respond to that question?
And her partner is like a girl.
Sir, are you there? Are you there?
I said, do you want a plan for all the place? Or...
Hello, can you hear me? Sir.
What happened?
Can you hear me, sir?
I think
you
cut off.
Sir, can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me? Hello? Crap.
Inside your tiny mind and look a bit harder.
Hello, can you hear me, guys? Hello? Can you hear me speaking? I can't even tell what's going on. My switchboards went down. I apologize. Okay. You can hear music. Can you hear me speaking? No? Okay. Can you hear me now, guys? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? So you guys can hear me now, right?
Hello? Can you guys hear me now? Hello? Hello, hello, hello? Can y'all hear me? Can you hear me or not? Hello? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hello? Hello? Wait. Hello? Can you hear me? Hello? Hello? You can't hear me? Damn, what is the problem? Okay, let me see. Fuck, this sucks, man. It says seeking. Wait. Can you hear me? Oh, wait. Hello, can you hear me? Can anybody hear me? Refresh and see if you can hear me. Hello? Hello, Blue Sky, can you hear me now or not? Hello? Hello, hello? God damn it. This is driving me fucking crazy.
The hardest part was figuring out where to go. I didn't want to explain military life before talking about what I needed. Safeguard Veterans connected me to people and resources that understood military life. That made taking the next step easier.
You served others. Let your community support you. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans. Any door, the right support.